these guys are. It's Tuesday. But these two guys are live on camera, so let's join the Hatchet Switch Show. This has become absolute chaos.
Yeah, it's called live TV, live stream, having to try to figure out how to make everything work.
So welcome to Barcelona. Welcome to Channel 9 Live. We are live. And of course, this is the Patch and Switch Show, which is normally a radio show. Normally, there's not video associated with it. And it's essentially Rick and I talking about, well, pretty much nonsense for about an hour.
About that.
Those of you, hopefully, who have joined us from the stream have found us, because normally we are on Blog Talk Radio. And so what we failed to do is that there's this whole time change thing, the end of daylight savings.
No, but is it something that we failed to do, or was it a deficiency in the service that didn't realize that there is a time change in Europe versus here?
Well, so
and everything else.
What we do is we schedule the show well in advance.
Right.
Usually it's at least 5 or 6 hours.
Right.
This time, actually, we planned ahead because we were like, this is going to be crazy. Both of us are coming on and off stage. So normally we plan everything out. And we did that in this case. And we had said we are going to start the show at 3 o'clock.
Which was approximately the right time.
Actually, sorry, at 4 o'clock. And then the time zone shifted. And it's like, well, if you set it for 4 o'clock, we're going to adjust you back because we fell back.
But the funny thing is I actually went in and changed the settings of the account to reflect the fact that we were in Barcelona.
Yeah.
And as opposed to trying to do the math, carry the one, because it's rather difficult to do that, to be able to figure out how to go backwards 8 hours or 9 hours. It still did not recognize. So all I can say is, for our American friends that are on the East Coast, you listen to 1 hour of silence, which was the Patch and Switch Show prior to this.
Not if they were following the social media.
Right, if they were following the social medias and the Twitters and the tweets and the Facebooks, you would have noticed that we're here. We do have a live audience of 5 people.
Apparently there are sessions going on, and they've decided to leave their sessions.
Nice.
To come to the show, so we appreciate it. Thanks, guys. We'll go through the, there is no chat room that we can go through.
But you do have the ability to interact with us if you want. So I can see now that some of our folks are actually using channel9.msdn.com to go ahead and to post. And then you have the moderation screen up there and is able to go in and to approve or deny these different chat requests to be able to say something, which is there. And, you know, I have to say it. I'm sorry, but American time zone change, difference in time zone change. Would it have been different if it was synchronized with the rest of the world?
No, it wouldn't have been. Well, it wouldn't be different because in the U.S. we don't change until next week.
But,
so we would have aired at the same time.
That's recent, though. That's recent.
Yeah, the last few years.
Right. So to me, that's recent. If that didn't happen, then it would have been fine and everything would have been good.
Yeah.
So this is one of those days, instead of saying blame Canada, we can say blame U.S.?
Perhaps?
I don't know.
I'm not going there.
Okay.
But
either way.
But either way, we've got a show, and
yes,
we're doing a show, and we are live on Channel 9. We will take your questions, so you're going to want to get those questions in. The show usually actually has 4 segments, and we start off with the first segment, which is From the Trenches.
You got it.
Stories of things that you are working on in your work world, the technology that puts it, that keeps it all together, that keeps it running. What are you doing? What are your challenges? What are the things that are going on? And this week, we have been spending a lot of time in our noses in our laptops.
Yes.
The chat room, one of the questions that just came in, it says, where's Harjit? Where is Harjit? If you're not there, you better get in here if you're not here. All right, anyway. Yeah. We have been prepping for a session that we will be doing Thursday here at TechEd Europe.
You and I think alike, because I'm thinking the exact same thing. This is one of the things I've been doing as well with you. You know, all our sessions are ready. They're all set. They're all ready to deliver on Thursday. When we get
cameras.
The camera's
I
on.
Can't
they
do that.
They didn't
normally
change
I
to this camera
chuckle.
Angle, so they actually saw
you
do right. that.
Careful. Sorry, my bad.
So I have been working with on-premises hardware in a remote lab environment. Prior to coming over here, while our good friend Simon May, the UK intern, was off doing the Eastern Europe tour, he was using their own infrastructure. and I wanted to fix some remote infrastructure. And he said, please don't make any changes to the remote infrastructure before I come back because I'm using it for my demos and for my keynotes. And we had just recently implemented our new remote desktop gateway, RDG.
Yeah.
And the RDG server was working and functional. However, it could not route to one of the subnets. A little bit of further investigation, I figured out it could not route to one of the internal subnets because it had two default gateways. The reason why it had two default gateways is because it was a hard-coded static address on the inside, and it was a dynamically obtained, although reserved, IP address on the outside, the public side.
Reserved via DHCP?
Right.
Or
okay. Reserved via DHCP.
All right, I'm following you.
Long story short, two default gateways. The external default gateway had a lower metric, and therefore all the traffic was coming in, trying to get to an unknown subnet. It goes default gateway, lower metric, it goes back out the window, and basically never connects. So I said, in my brilliant mind, why don't I go and remove one of those particular gateways?
Yeah.
And I emailed both of you, and neither one of you responded.
Nope.
And so I'm like, eeny, meeny, miny,
mo. You gave me like 3.5 minutes to try to respond to the email.
But I said, okay, mo one out, and it meant that I had to remove the internal default gateway.
Okay, so you removed the internal default gateway, and what happens?
Did I do the internal or the external?
I don't know. You did it. I wasn't there.
I removed the external default gateway. And then magically, everything stopped working. You couldn't even connect it anymore.
Where are you going? You can't leave. We're live.
So it turned out that it was impossible to work if you remove the external default gateway. So that had to stay in place. And instead, you remove the internal default gateway. So luckily, you know, I was only being used by a couple of people.
Sure.
I don't think I interrupted any keynotes at the time that it was running.
You missed it by about half an hour, 45 minutes. I remember seeing the monster.
The good fix and the simple fix for this was simply to do a nice old-fashioned route add and then put in the network, and then put in the mask, and the gateway, and the interface, everything else like that, dash P to make it persistent. And I did that for our individual subnets, because our lab environment only has about maybe half a dozen or so subnets. So it's now fixed. It's working. I'm using it coming up Thursday for our remote access connectivity. That was my From the Trenches, man.
While we don't have a chat room, we are getting your messages. Mr. Beckman says it's not just the time zone with issues. Yes, you're right, Kyle. Yes, you're absolutely right. I think the jet lag is now hitting us, even though we've been here for a few days.
You think so?
I don't know.
I'm burnt. I'm tired.
Well, you've
man.
Been up here for like the last 18 hours.
Channel 9 Live with Rick Claus. Nice to see you. Taking a day off
tomorrow. We do have a Henrik update. He was tweeting, so he's awake, and then all of a sudden we have Harjit come in, and he's asking where Minionjit is, saying that Minionjit was actually the star of the show when we did this show live in Houston. I disagree. I think your hat would disagree with that as well.
Yes.
As we look through. There's another question that's not related to necessarily to what we do in Patch and Switch, but it says, are we getting decks and session audio / video links for all the sessions? Of course, you can watch all sessions right here on Channel 9, 24 to 48 hours-ish from the end of the session is when you'll be able to watch it.
I mean, like right now, if you wanted to, you could actually scroll back in time with the player.
Well, for Channel 9, yes.
For Channel 9.
Yes.
For this particular live thing, and you could see the keynote again.
Yeah.
That will eventually be chopped up into a proper keynote that will be available to the regular channels under the events page for Channel 9.
Yeah. So there's
this will actually be figured into it as well.
JavaSoft asked that question. So JavaSoft, thanks for that answer.
My wireless is working on this again, by the way.
Oh, excellent.
So I'm actually watching the Twitters go by.
Okay, excellent. I have a story. And maybe the guys see it. I see you guys sitting there looking at me, because I'm directing this question. Where's my web server guys? Do I have web server guys?
Any web server infrastructure?
Everybody starts looking behind them. So no web server guys? Nobody can help me? All right. So here's one of the things, without spoiling what we're getting into in our session.
Right.
Because we don't want to do that. There's a new tool that's out that does some migration stuff. So we thought, hey, it's only a week old. Let's go ahead and build a demo on it, right? Because nothing bad could ever happen when you try to do that, right?
Rule number one, if demo and delivery is always, don't change your demos. And we change our demos.
We didn't have demos.
Well, we were building demos. So technically, we didn't change them, but demos were changed slightly.
So with this, what I wanted to do is that I wanted to take a... web server that was running on Server 2003, and I wanted to do something like a front-end, back-end. You've got a front-end web server, the back-end SQL database.
Right.
Something somewhat complex or reasonable, right? Because
so
not everybody loads everything.
Hello world, right?
Right, exactly.
You want to have that one there.
So an app that's got a database and everything else, load that. Put that on a Server 2003 machine because the session is on Server 2003, end of life. Or end of support, I should say. I shouldn't say end of life.
So end of life, support. Yeah, it's coming.
End of support coming July 14 of next
2015.
Year. I know this. So I've got this fantastic app that we went and downloaded. It's on CodePlex, I believe. The Pet Shop app.
Pet Shop. So it's a utility to be able to test ASP.NET and JavaScript and ACID tests and stuff like that for performance of a .NET-based application.
Yep.
.NET 1 or maybe .NET 2.
Yeah, I believe it's actually on .NET 2.
To be able to work with the database in the back end. So it's a great little simplified, nice app to be able to go off and on. The best thing is it's a point-and-click MSI to install.
Now, one of the interesting things about doing this is if you go back thinking about IIS, I want to say it's 5 or 6.
It's 6.
Back in that day, default install does not allow you to actually run ASP.NET. It's blocked. So we fixed that problem, and we've got the website working. Where I'm stuck, and you know, I've had so much time being the fact that I've been
doing
actually
this.
Back there throwing you questions the entire time during the Rick Claus Tech Ed Channel 9 Live, is this web server is actually located in a virtual directory, and the application, the app pool is a secondary app pool, so it's not in the standard default website, right? So when I run the tool to look at it, it goes, well, I see the default website, but it's not seeing the other website. So I'm thinking, is there an easy way to convert an app pool, so it's the only app pool, so the default one is gone, and replace this website with the default website? I haven't explored this. But that's kind of where I'm working on. And I know I've got some fantastic listeners and stuff. So you maybe hit us up on the Twitter, on the Facebooks, if you have the answer for that one. But that's what I'm thinking. It may not be the solution. We have a backup in case this doesn't work.
Right.
This we
is
have
simply
a backup.
An embellishment to have a better experience with the attendees if we can get it. So
yeah, well, we're always looking to kind of change it up a little bit. I mean, this session has been done several times, and you know, we just like to mix it up a little bit because technology has changed, and this new tool
is
actually really, really cool.
Yeah.
And I can't talk about it because we're going to do the session.
Right.
I don't want to give it up. So that's what I've been doing in the trenches.
So if anyone out there happens to know how to work with IIS a bit better than Joey does,
the old version.
The old version of IIS 5. We have a volunteer over here possibly.
Oh, there we go.
Just tweet it out to hashtag switches IIS woes. we'll see
I'm
if we can get
thrown under
that
the bus on live web television.
Or is it patches? Is it patches IIS woes? I don't know. My second part of the embellishment of the demo is I'm actually doing some stuff with Active Directory domain controller cloning. And so I'm going in and putting in some fail-safe stuff because we're doing part of the session also deals with traditional workloads like Active Directory. And
you're going to knock that over.
It's story. It's a surface. It's fine.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about all the stuff that's running.
Oh, the switcher. Yeah, that wouldn't be good. Is that 220 volt down there?
At least.
Okay. So good. Thank you. I'll move that right out there. That particular solution is coming along fine, but the problem is trying to fit it all inside 75 minutes. And so I'm putting some checkpoints in place to be able to go off and get the basics done, show how to run stuff, and then go off and then do a checkpoint into the next level. So that's almost tuned to perfection.
So I'm not asking you to give everything away, but talk a little bit about kind of the cloning. What is your thought process behind the cloning as it relates to upgrades? Because I'm thinking, I'm doing upgrades. Why would I clone?
Well, the main thing you want to do is from a disaster recovery perspective, being able to very quickly stand up domain controllers in your infrastructure, but more importantly, from a deployment perspective. If you've got to go off and replace 15 sites worth of domain controllers that are out there, they're all running 2003, now you can virtualize them, and they can be cloned to be able to be much faster to deploy. Basically, what happens is the machine has been qualified. You give it a new computer name, new IP address. You tell it where to find the PDC emulator, the DNS server, and that sort of stuff. You then shut the box down. You export out the machine, and then you bring it back up again in as many places as you need to with the XML file being modified. And then that will allow you to go off and to have a very quick deployment of machines where you don't have to worry about replication to the extent that you would if you were doing traditional domain controller rollouts.
So really what you're essentially doing is you're shortening time of deployment. to get these out. So you basically do one, and then you just kind of blast out the rest.
Got it.
And, all right, very cool.
That's the plan. So I'm trying to look at a very slick implementation where that is. So that is all very, very good for where that all sits. That's kind of a think about for our segment. I'm checking our time clock here.
We're doing well, man.
We are.
We actually have an extended segment.
Extended segment. I mean, we switched from the 45 minutes now to the 1 hour.
Yes.
And then on top of that, they've asked us to fill for additional time after that. So I think if we run out of time, we're going to have to actually start doing a soft shoe of some kind.
I don't dance.
No?
No.
You're tall. You can dance.
You know what? I have to say, one of the challenges of doing a show live with the video, I'm normally so used to doing patch and switch with coffee.
Yes.
And I don't have any.
Yeah.
Because you know, we really don't want coffee up here, and you've been up on stage for the last 14 hours.
I just took it, man.
I'm just you, because normally you know it's just sitting and drink coffee, and then I make snide faces when you say things. I'm like, what are you doing? And now it's all caught on camera.
There has been a couple of different comments coming through on the Twitters, because I do have wireless right now on my lap, on my Surface for
we
good
are
reasons,
on the Twitters,
which is good. They're asking about Blog Talk Radio. We're not there, obviously, that sort of stuff. But
yes.
We're exploring new technology options.
We are.
For the new secret bunker.
Well, if it's secret, are we really supposed to be talking about
but
it?
But I'm not going to talk about much, but I'm still saying that it is a project, or project, if you're American. It's a project that starts off when I return. Hopefully, Larry's still talking to me after I mocked him with the PowerPoint. Attachment as opposed to a OneDrive file. But the idea is that there will be a more robust option that is not using the current infrastructure.
Okay.
And you know, I said some things that we needed to have is make sure that we have a chat room, because chat is actually one of the best ways to interact with people. So I'm at least glad that our live studio audience, every single one of them has their nose stuck inside their phone or tablet right now and is doing some stuff. So...
And it really is a big part of the show is our interaction that we have with the audience. Yeah. And for those of you who are joining us live, I want to welcome folks in the United States who have finally woken up. So welcome to the Pacific time zone. We hope you stick around. We've got plenty more great stuff here on Channel 9 Live after the two of us get done talking about absolutely nothing.
Rigsby was looking for us. Look at that.
Oh, Rigsby.
From Portland, Oregon. He was looking for the Patch and Switch show, and he couldn't find it on the current site.
Hopefully he found it on the Twitters.
I'm glad to say that our raucous and wild audience over here has been helping him remotely to say, here's where to find the stream and where we happen to be located.
Have they been helping him remotely or...
No, they have. They've actually
pretty much just doing nothing but... yelling at him for not reading the Twitter. Is that what it is, guys? Yeah, Frederick, Henrik, yeah, Simon. Yeah, you guys are crazy.
Oh, they got a camera shot on them.
Yeah, look at that.
Our massive audience. Wave up there, guys. Wave. It's up there. That's the camera up there. Good.
Not a question, but a big shout out to the crew, of course. The crew of Teca, K-R-E-W-E. Have fun in Barcelona. That's from Patrick. So Patrick Winberg says a big shout out to the crew family, and these guys are well represented here in Barcelona.
It was a great time at their meet and greet that they put on
Sunday. Yeah,
that
was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
It was a little warm. It was a little warm upstairs.
A little warm.
But if you went downstairs, there was air conditioning and seats.
There was a downstairs?
And I was taking pictures of all the people with hats that I could. I was introducing the Rick's Tilly hat to all the hats inside the room. So Rick's Tilly hat could have some friends.
Yeah. Actually, I did know there's a downstairs. I just needed to get the reaction out of these guys here.
Nice.
Next segment of the show. Beer money.
Is that time already?
Well, from the trenches, beer money.
Beer money.
It's the second segment, buddy.
Okay.
We still have several more to go. You writing it down?
So I forget.
Carry the one. And it's two.
I've got a funny one for you. I was going to actually ask for Sinovich this question this morning when I was interviewing Marko Sinovich up here.
Hang on, let me pick up that name you just dropped.
So, you know, I'm talking to Snover tomorrow, first thing in the morning.
Yeah?
Oh. Another name. I talked to Jeff Woolsey earlier.
Yeah?
Another one. it was, I was literally 2 hours before a certain individual was going to come and pick me up to take me to their side of the neighborhood to be able to catch our ride down to the airport. 2 hours before it's time to leave. And I get a phone call on my wife's fruit phone.
Yeah.
From her father, basically saying that his machine has been compromised.
Compromise with malware? Compromise
with malware. Okay. And it's a Surface 2 RT edition. And I'm like, that's really strange, because I set him up specifically with the RT version, because all he does is surf the web and check his mail. He apparently had gone on to one of the social sites, clicked on a link, and then now his browser, whenever he opens up the browser, defaults to going to callcomputersupport.com/support website. Oof. And it has a locked, cannot close any window message on the screen that says your computer's been compromised, please call us 1-800 number. Don't go to the website.
I'm not going to that website.
If you're listening, do not go to that website.
Yeah, don't go to that website.
So, that particular website had done something where I believe basically it's just gone in and hijacked his homepage, because it's an RT device, right? And as a standard user, you can go through and have add-ons put into your browser if they say yes. And they can also go in and obviously occupy all the different processes that are running. But if you go in and try to do anything that requires a web interface, it simply defaults back to the website, says it's locked, and you can't do anything. So I can't get him to do any remote control tools. I can't do anything to be able to clean it off. It's driving me absolutely insane. It's an RT system, so I can't run any Intel x86 or x64-based tools, like sysinternals.
So did you get an answer?
So I didn't ask him that yet.
Oh, you did?
No, he was busy.
Bring that up to drop the name?
No, this is my beer money. I spent an hour and 15 minutes of the last 2 hours before leaving.
Yes.
And you wonder why I forgot my power supply for my laptop and the USB cable to plug in the microphone device into the back. It's because of this. An hour and 15 minutes trying to talk him through, okay, so go to the top, and then in the right-hand corner, there's a little gear wheel in the browser, and go into tools and options. He couldn't find it. He's actually using the modern browser, not the desktop version of the browser.
Oh.
So I said, hey, here, find your desktop. He didn't know what the desktop was. I have him trained well. So he found the desktop, and then I had him right mouse click and start in private browsing, which obviously does not have the homepage, does not load the add-ins, and unfortunately does not have his favorites. But he is able to browse. He is able to get his mail. He is able to still continue to work.
Well, good. So you've at least got a temporary solution in place.
Temporary solution, but now he's actually in Italy.
Well, that's close, right?
I'm thinking that after that close, check-in guys? Barcelona, I'm going to change my flight so I can go off to Italy.
I'm geographically challenged.
So it's attached to the top of the boot, isn't it?
Like 20-minute drive?
It's the bottom of the boot. A couple hours, maybe? Anyway, I'm going to see if I can somehow make it down to Italy to find out where he's at, because he wanted to bring the Surface with him to be able to stay in touch with email.
Yeah.
Because he uses it for the Skypes. And there's a modern version of the Skypes.
Yes.
Which still works.
Oh, so that's okay.
However, you cannot screen share for me to troubleshoot with the modern version of Skypes on the RT version.
Yes.
It's every single time it just kept on hitting the fact that it was there. So soon, we'll have to coordinate trying to get there. But rather much of a pain for my beer money story. What about you, sir? Any beer money stories with your family before leaving? It always turns out you do tech support before you go on a conference, right?
I don't know so much that it's with my family before I left, as much as it is my esteemed colleague.
Me?
Or colleagues who have decided to leave their power supplies back home. So I think we're up to four.
Four?
Of these devices, and we have one power supply, and it's mine. So I've been basically running at 10% power as I charge everybody else's laptops.
So anyone here at TechEd Europe Barcelona that has ZenBook, bring your power supply down to Channel 9 stage, and we'll give you a free Channel 9 guy in exchange for the power supply in 15-minute increments.
I do see that the people were yelling and screaming about Frederick going on camera saying he's broken the screen. There's a bunch of banter going on Twitter. This is ridiculous. You guys are ridiculous. So is this what normally happens in the chat room when I'm not paying attention? Oh, okay, I get it. That's why they're demanding a chat room. No, besides that, I actually had a little bout with malware myself. Pretty easily solved. We got ahead of it relatively quickly. It's one of those situations where that awesome 8-bit graphics game that my kids like to play so much.
Right.
They wanted to go download some modification or something.
And it
installs a bunch of toolbars and so on and so forth. Because I was traveling at the time. that they wanted to do this. And, you know, mom just said, oh, yeah, it looks okay. And, you know, sometimes some of those installation routines, they don't really make it obvious to you that they're going to install 1,700 other pieces when they install.
Right.
19 toolbars and 8 search engines and everything else. So I had to clean that off. It wasn't that big of a deal. That was just kind of the beer money support story. I've done more beer money support here in Barcelona than I have anywhere else. Just not a lot going on. In terms of, I think we've got everything stabilized. Did you ever get your situation worked out with the Wi-Fi at the house?
Oh, yeah.
Are you still running on, like, circa 1992?
It's an old-fashioned first-generation WRT Linksys router that's currently being used that I'm surprised still works. But it's working enough to be able to have connectivity.
If this hashtag trends, guys, well done. Hashtag power supply gate.
Nice.
Well done from for the guys here.
So Andy. I have not,
Andy,
although,
you guys are crazy.
Although I did see that Paul Thurrott was reviewing a new version of, was it the Asus router?
Is it the Black Knight guy, or is it the one
Nighthawk?
You were talking about?
It's not the Nighthawk. But it actually looks like it's a bear trap. Instead of just having two antennas on the front and two antennas in the back, it actually has a third set of antennas in the middle, mm-hmm. and then I think two more on top of that. So it looks like if you step your foot inside of it, it's just going to like
close in,
crunch on top of it,
close in and bind up.
So it's supposedly you're still, eliminates
you're still
dead
spots. Are you? Don't tell me you're waiting on the next generation.
Well, talking to Jeff Woolsey earlier. I'm thinking about upgrading my house to 40 gigabit Ethernet around the house because it's becoming prevalent all over the place. What do you think?
Well, that doesn't necessarily help you on the Wi-Fi front.
No, I know, but it means I switch out my switching infrastructure, and then I have to do some new cables and get new network adapters for all my laptops. Do you think they have a USB version of a 40 gig Ethernet card available? No, not yet?
No.
Too soon?
Too soon.
Eventually... Eventually, it will be a router replacement. Now, but I'm also thinking that I need to go through and explore options of upgrading and or replacing the, the cable provider box.
Ah, the cable modem.
It's the original cable provider box from 3.5 years ago.
You have to replace it because a lot of the providers, particularly the one in our area, is mandating the use of DOCSIS 3. Is this not a DOCSIS 3 cable modem?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Because eventually you won't be able to use it if it's not
Is
DOCSIS
Is that why
3.
My internet goes up and down all the time?
Well, it's Perhaps. Either that or the router, but...
Maybe my WRTG router is still good.
Your router could very well... Yeah, but you do need to look at replacing that DOCSIS 3 modem, plus you're going to get better speeds.
Come back
home. He's taking
home.
A note. Yes, that's the kind of information that you learn on this show, where we talk aimlessly for an hour.
You got it.
Should we do the next segment? You have any more beer money stories?
Well, now it's just beer talk, right?
Should we talk beer?
We're tracking well for our timing, by the way.
We are doing very, very well. I don't know if you're new to Channel 9 and watching this show on Channel 9 Live, this is the Passion Switch show. Where we kind of talk about random things, and we just kind of go off on tangents for about an hour. And one of the things
we talk about quite often
is beer, because we brew beer, and we like beer, right? Yes, everybody, yes. So let's go into the beer talk segment, because we're looking at some pretty substantial upgrades to the Beer Team 6 infrastructure.
So we recently upgraded the burners. And also went and upgraded some pots. The pots are now large enough to be able to boil small children inside of them. So they're 26 gallons, which is like 100 and I don't know how many liters.
Do I need to disclaim saying no small children have ever been boiled? They're just big.
Yeah, so very, very large pots. And just recently, while I was away, our good friend Jay Shock, who's part of Beer Team 6, made his investment, and he also bought a new burner and bought another new pot as well. At least he proactively notified my wife that this shipment was arriving at my house.
Oh,
because
you wouldn't be allowed.
No, I wouldn't be allowed back in again if all of a sudden this massive pot arrived without telling her, because she would think that I bought it. The pots aren't cheap.
No, they're
the bridges aren't cheap. The pots are about $400.
They're about $40 beer dollars. Yeah, $40 beer dollars. And so the next thing that we're going to do, and I'm still not quite sure I understand exactly what it is that I'm buying.
Okay.
But I'm buying a coil.
You are buying what's known as a Herms coil. So it's a stainless steel coil that is designed to fit inside of the pot, and then you recirculate the beer wort up through a pump into the bottom of that coil. Mm-hmm. The temperature control is on the water that the coil is immersed in to give you very granular temperature control.
Oh.
And then it coils through the 50 feet of coil until it comes out the top. And then you can even put a temperature sensor at the top that says, unless it's at this temperature, turn on the gas to let it heat up some more.
Oh, so automation.
So basically, it's a level of automation. I'm trying to get
power shell for beer.
I'm trying to get a PowerShell commandlet written to be able to control the temperature controller. At the very least, I think I'm going to try work on a Docker container to be able to do this, based on what I did talking with Sanders and Rasinovich about Docker and Docker containers.
Yeah.
I'm sure, because a lot of open source guys and gals actually are also beer brewing folks as well.
Sure.
And there's actually some open source beer brewing equipment that does all the controls of all this open source hardware that they have as well. You can go off and buy. So very, very cool stuff coming up in that world. I was having a crisis before leaving because I'm in the middle of trying to recreate one of the Moritz Brewery's flavors that we enjoy called the Epidor blend.
So Moritz is a brewery right here in Barcelona. Fabrica Moritz is what you want to look for if you guys are going to go visit.
If anyone's looking for a place to eat it. Here at Tech Ed Barcelona, go get some time to go to the Moritz, the Fabrica Moritz Brewery.
Yes.
It's the place where they actually make all the beer and put it through cold storage, put it through cold filter, put it through storage tanks directly to the taps. So it never touches oxygen at all.
Mmm, so good.
So it's very, very good.
So one of these versions, we were working on it. We thought we nailed the recipe down.
So
based on as much information as you can glean from the website.
Clandestine research from the website and from other stuff. I actually got an email back from the brewmaster at the time, and he said, here's the style of hops that we use, and here is the grains that we use, and we're pretty close for what it is. The problem is the yeast didn't survive. So last time you were here in June, I had an unfortunate accident of having 750 milliliters of high-pressure, very active yeast explode inside my hotel room, showering the ceiling, the hallway,
we told
the carpets,
story, yes.
I know, all over the place. And I was only able to save maybe a couple hundred milliliters, and that's it. And by the time we actually tried to use it, it wasn't viable anymore. So unfortunately, we had to go with alternate yeast strains. My conundrum was that because it was so close to when we were leaving, I couldn't finish off my stage of lagering and what's known as the disilic rest to be able to get the yeast warmed back up again and then brought down. Is it breaking news?
I have breaking news. Breaking news on the Patch and Switch show. I have an answer to the website problem. We got it from our friend PKI Solutions stating that there's no need to change the app pool. Use host headers or assign the app website to port 80. We'll give that a shot. Hopefully that makes everything work. Because everything is working. Yeah, it's just we got to make the migration tool see it.
I mean, like right now, you go to the website, the server name slash subfolder, and that's where the website currently runs, right?
Yeah, and I've got to chastise Mr. Beckman a little bit. He says, we're chatting amongst ourselves. There's a show.
Is there?
Apparently, we're on.
Okay, yeah.
Also, got a shout out to Mr. Ledwig. Rigsby has joined us. Frederick, who's here. Who else? Andy, you're here. You guys are out of control. You and your hashtags. Frederick actually said get-beer. That's all that you need is in terms of a commandlet. Can we get that written? Can you work on that? Get-beer? Or control-beer temperature?
You know what? I think our good friend, Mr.
I don't know you. I don't know what you're saying. I can't read your mind.
Bender.
Mr. Bender?
Bender.
Yes.
Currently is teaching a PowerShell class in his college university.
Yeah.
He could probably write a module for us. And you know what? Maybe I'll ask Mr. Snover tomorrow.
Oh, there you go.
We can use something for control.
Frederick also suggests a dash type parameter. Nice. And then Esposito, if I didn't shout out, he said he tasted the St. Ambrose pumpkin beer in Montreal last week, said it was delicious. That's up your alley. I'm not really a pumpkin guy.
Yeah, it's one of those seasonals. I'm more of a traditional way to go. The one thing that we've done that's a little bit different as well for our homebrew stuff is we're smoking some grain.
Okay, you brought this into work.
Yeah, it's rather strong.
Oh, currently. But it was awesome.
So, our good friend Jay Shock and I were very partial to a Scotch ale, otherwise known as a wee heavy. It's about a 9% beer or so.
And do me a favor, never do that again.
What's wrong with a wee heavy? So that particular beer has a smoky flavor to it, and so we decided instead of using the peat malt that's been smoked, is instead we're going to actually smoke our own. It's legal in Washington to smoke your own. So I figured that
you
he managed
are
to found.
On a roll,
I'm just
my
trying.
Friend.
We basically found out the appropriate type of grains that we could use, and then we decided to do a nice 3-hour smoke over top of some applewood.
Now, you did make one mistake.
I know.
And I noticed it now.
You continue to chastise about me.
No, I'm not chastising. I want to make sure that our viewers, our listeners/viewers for today, are aware of this. Now, it's a common myth in the barbecue world when you're smoking and you're using smoke wood to soak the wood.
Yeah, it makes it burn slower, so it smokes.
No, it does not, because they have done tests. If you soak wood for over 24 hours, you get less than, I think it's 1/4 penetration through with the water on most of the hardwoods, and you should be using very hardwoods in your smoking. So it doesn't help. In fact, it adds a little bit of an off flavor. If you've ever been driving by like a fire somebody's extinguished with water, it kind of has that damp kind of scent. Yeah. You get that flavor through. Now, it's not that apparent in your grains that you smoked, and I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue because they're going to boil in wort.
And we're going to use a small amount.
Yeah.
Like we smoked 2 pounds. We're probably only going to use maybe 6 ounces, inside there.
But, so. I mean, it was a good effort. And you brought some in, and I tasted them, and it tastes fantastic. And
supposedly the smokiness and the overbearing flavors settle down after a couple of weeks. And so we're not brewing again. The next brew day we're having is November the 8th or 9th.
Ah, there you go.
I believe. I think it's the 9th now.
Hey, for those of you joining in Channel 9 Live going, why are these guys talking about beer, not technology? This is Patch and Switch Show. It's a webcast talk show radio thing that we do every other week on the Fridays. And we just kind of talk about random stuff. But we'll get back to the tech talk because we've got segments.
Yep.
So we've done From the Trenches. And boy, we've got some great stories. In fact, some great help from our friends on the Twitter. We've talked about beer money, which is what happens when you are supporting your neighbors, your friends, your family, your family's friends, your family's neighbors. And then a little bit of beer talk. And now, my favorite subject.
Random spending,
because we're all geeks and we all like to buy toys.
Right.
Now, I did a little bit of random spending before we departed to the Barcelonas.
Just before?
I have found the answer to my headphone obsessions. And so those of you who know me, I'm a DJ. I spend a lot of time listening to music. It's not a new brand of headphones. It's something that has turned all three different sets of headphones that I wear, whether it be office or home or on the road, into absolute outstanding sound. And it's a little tiny headphone amplifier.
A headphone amp.
It's a headphone amplifier.
With little dials on it to be able to change the equalizer and being able to
No, it's just a small little square. You plug one in into the laptop or whatever device it is. The other end, you know, you plug your headphones in. It's got multiple settings, so it's got like let's increase the bass or let's increase the mid-range or, you know, those types of settings on it. It's just a little slider. Thing lasts for at least 10 hours, and I can say that because I used it on the entire flight over here.
Right.
It really makes such a huge difference, and one of the things that this little amplifier, and there's many of them out there on the market, some of them larger than others, some of them do more amplification and have more support than others. But really, if you've got headphones, some of the DJ headphones that you use or some of these other types of headphones that do some of the noise reduction stuff will draw power from your laptop, which reduces the amount of time you can watch movies on the laptop when you're on a plane. And so this amplifier actually helps reduce some of that. At least this is not professionally tested. I don't have true results, but based on my experience, I noticed that the drivers in one particular set of headphones that I was wearing on the plane tend to pull more power, and the amplifier seems to like that, and it lasts at least 10 hours. So that's my random spend of the week. It was only $40 or something like that. But it has made listening to things so much better. And because, you know, some of the headphones I have, they're really bassy, particularly my DJ headphones. There's a reason for that, because when we're mixing, we like the kick drum. That's what you go off of, is the kick drum. And I like to hear, and that's in the lower sub frequencies, right? Then so they amplify those. But boy, it turned these into just, I didn't even know these headphones had a mid-range.
Is it a full spectrum that you're amplifying?
Yeah, it amplifies across. There are various settings, and there's ones you can get. There's some that come in like little mint containers, like the little metal mint containers, you know what I'm talking about? Absolutely fantastic piece of technology. It's a great, 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 great geek gadget if you've got an audiophilistic kind of person around. Did I make up a word? I think I just did. Yeah, Simon Zainazet is like, yeah, dude, you made up a word.
I've got a couple of random spending options that I've just done. Four of them, to be exact. First thing was I bought my son a 735 Lumia selfie phone.
Oh?
It'll be arriving today, I think, actually. Back in Redmond, Washington.
Okay, I've got to ask you. Keep in mind you've got three other things to talk about. Why the 735? What was it about this particular phone?
No, the 735 Lumia. I've been following Thurrott's discussion of using the differences between 735 and the 830 or 835, whatever it is. And he just seems to like the 735 from its feel and how light it is and everything else. Plus, being the fact that my son is 13 years old, he wanted to pay for half of the phone. He saved up his money. He's a selfie guy. He likes taking his selfies with his mates. And so selfie phone, that's the best one to do. I obviously am going to have to go in and put in a custom APN setting and a MMS setting to be able to do all the different types of messaging. But it is an international unlock phone that he'll be able to use. And because his plan doesn't have LTE on it anyway, he doesn't get the LTEs the carrier that we're with using this particular international phone, but he won't care because he's going to have the nice capabilities of the 5-megapixel camera up front. So that's my first thing that I did.
All right, so you got the phone, you got the 735, you're going to be taking some selfies.
I'm not, my son is. I'm terrible at selfies.
It's his phone.
The other thing is actually two things, and I talked about this with you earlier, the ability to go off and to pre-order and download games for Xbox One. So it kind of counts. So I went ahead
Does it count as random spending, guys?
I think it's random spending.
You agree?
I have to justify to my wife that I just...
Oh, you just did it? Nice. Eddie just did it.
So I had to justify to my wife why there is two charges for about $59 a piece for Assassin's Creed Unity.
Yep.
And also Modern Warfare as well, Black Ops. And so both of those are now happily downloading, trickling down to my Xbox. It'll be there when I arrive home. And you're able to download them ahead of time and be able to launch them at midnight on the day that they're released. So there's no longer any waiting. So my digital downloads will happen very nicely for Modern Warfare and Unity. That's two and three.
Oh.
That counts as three. It's two software.
Okay.
Right. The last one is, it kind of counts because I actually backed a Kickstarter.
Here we go.
The Kickstarter that I backed.
You're going to want to hear this, guys.
I forget the exact name. I want to say it's like a U Growler, U Brew. I'll put the link in the show notes, what it happens to be. But basically, it is a beautifully handcrafted, double walled, vacuum sealed growler, 64 ounces or 128 ounces. However, it is actually CO2 charged. And has a sight glass for how much liquid is available left inside of it, and has a tap to be able to serve from.
So you can keep beer in the fridge.
1 gallon of beer is 128 ounces. 1 gallon of beer filled up from your local friendly homebrewer or growler dispensing company. Have it done. And so basically when they fill it up, have them so that basically the carbon dioxide foam, the head, bubbles up over top. You screw on the top, and the top actually has a 8-ounce or 16-ounce CO2 cartridge inside of it that then allows you to dial up anywhere from 0 PSI to 15 PSI for the perfect pressure for serving, and it can sit inside your fridge and pour, because my wife's biggest complaint with the homebrew that we have when we take some to our friend's house is that it always goes flat inside the growler.
Yeah.
Now she can have a full gallon of some of the Kelly Lager, the clogger that I make, that's now always going to be perfectly charged. It will not spoil and be able to be served out of my fridge.
Ben wants to know if you've hooked up the brewing rig to Azure for real-time monitoring and automation.
I believe there is now going to be a new, what was that new monitoring service we just announced today? you install the it's the Azure Insights.
Beer Insights.
Operational Insights. We're going to make a
beer
new version of that.
Beer Operational Insights.
Beer Insights for stuff. But absolutely, I think yeah, we should
when
do that.
Are you going to take a note when you next talk to build that?
No, that one there, I'll talk to Mark about. Mark Rusinovich.
Ed Esposito, I'm not even reading that one out loud because, no, it would not be cool to have Manpreez.
Now, the next thing that they have as well is because the Kickstarter, the first level of stretch goal was they would meet their capacity and then go ahead and they would make 128-ounce version. They did that. They met the next one, which was like $365,000 has been pledged, and they now will do laser etching on them. So now you can get your logos for your different beer teams, hint, hint, laser etched on the side for only the difference. And they're charging about maybe $30, something like that, to laser etch them. And the next level of funding that they have for $750 is a copper clad version of the stainless steel.
That's not as cool as having your logo etched in.
It's etched.
With lasers.
Yeah, lasers. Freaking lasers is in there. So that would be my fourth and final thing that I have for random spending, some of which were technology related, some were not.
Well, I think the beer counts, the growler counts, because it is technology, right? Do we all agree? Everybody's nodding their heads.
It's based out of Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
And it looks really good. The version that I got was about $180 was the backing that I did, because it's the full 128 ounce with a carrying bag and shotgun shell holder for your CO2 cartridges, because you don't want to run out when you're camping. I can't picture carrying a gallon of beer on a canoe trip, but I'm damn well going to try to do a canoe portage carrying this nice canvas bag. The canoe's going to be back like this when I'm doing it, to be able to go off and to try that one out. So I have shared the link out. I'll share it again if you're interested in the show notes for this one here. I'm a huge believer in Kickstarter. This particular one is going to be closing on December the 7th. Delivery is not until June, but I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Our overpaid South African intern wants to...
We pay him? We do?
I'm not paying him. He said he was getting paid.
You know what? It's probably our sound engineer.
Oh, okay.
Jay Shock.
He wants to know about your downloaded Kardashian shows at home.
What?
I don't know. The question just came up in the room, and I'm just asking it.
Kardashian show. I'm talking out of turn. Those weren't mine. we have a rather large house, and we were away. Where were we? I was on vacation, I think it was. And out of the goodness of my heart, I loaned my house to our South African intern and his family, who are over here for some internal training. And they enjoyed my house, looked after my dog, and drank my beer. And apparently they also recorded Trash TV on the PVR.
Just for you?
Just for me. And it was set to never expire, never overwrite, and record every episode. And so it was filling up.
Oh, you are cruel.
It was filling
up. Oh, and everybody over there is high-fiving.
it was filling up my DVR, and I could not figure out why my issues of brew dogs were not recorded anymore. And it's because the Kardashians, or maybe it was how to call out your cheating husband or something. I don't know what it was.
Oh, cheaters.
Cheaters or something like that. So my wife found those episodes. She says, is there something we need to talk about? Because I was home for 2 weeks before she got home from the vacation.
You know what? It was only a matter of time before the normal crew of crazies get involved on the Twitter and get involved on the Channel 9s, and our show completely spirals out of control. Normally it only takes 2 or 3 minutes from the start of the show. We've gone at least 15 before we spiral out
of
control.
But you know what? One thing we didn't talk about here was
Did the fifth dentist finally cave and recommend Trident gum?
Huh?
You said, do you know what? And I just was asking.
No. Our illustrious, what would you call it, director? Duncan. Duncan, what's the position?
I don't know. The guy who keeps the platform running.
Yes, he's the man that keeps the platform running, along with a team of developers that he works with. Larry's the one that basically allows us to do this. Golnaz is the one that makes us look good, and all the support.
Larry's over there
them.
Shaking his head, going, "Never again, you clowns! So, never again."
Duncan actually did research on what craft breweries and bars to go to in Barcelona, and he surprisingly
Has this been blogged?
It has been blogged. From a blogger that does beer travels, and she was coming over to Barcelona.
Yeah.
And there were two locations, one of which had four taps or five taps, but the staff knew nothing about beer. And the other one had about 10 taps. And if Duncan is actually watching right now, because he is upstairs in the room, probably yelling at the TV screen saying, get these guys off the air, he could tweet out from Channel 9 what the name of the craft brewery pub is. That is not your standard, just have 10 taps of imports to be able to go off and to try. Because we obviously like Moritz Brewery, Fabrikam Moritz, just because it's good.
Well, and the food.
The food's amazing.
Yeah.
The food's amazing.
I mean,
but the beer's
look,
good too.
If you need, they do a beer can chicken.
Yes.
And sometimes,
with their own beer.
And sometimes when you're traveling and you've been away for a long time, you need some comfort.
Yes.
And to have a beer can chicken cooked in this amazing brick oven that they have and taken out on this huge metal platter and shown to you, then taken away and they cut it all up and then pour the beer back over the top. And it's just happiness.
Okay.
It's the little things.
So apparently he has been alerted upstairs in the live feed that we are asking him now. So if you could, what is the name of the brewery that has all the craft taps that you recommend, Mr. Duncan, that's out there?
So hopefully we'll be able to get that
breaking news
brought
out
to
all of our live audience.
That would be a second piece of breaking news on the show. We've never done that
before.
That's good.
This is actually turning out to be semi-newsworthy.
Let's see. We see. Oh, there's the link to the growler.
Okay. Yeah. August actually put up a link
for
Kickstarter.
All right. So the first one, there are two I know of. There's Catbar. That's catbar.es on the website. Catbar. And Ale and Hop.
Right.
It's amazing. He's upstairs and sending us messages on the screen here.
He's a developer, man. They are all powerful.
They are.
They are all powerful. I can't get more than 12 characters to show up on that message, so he's obviously got a more advanced laptop.
So there you go, Catbar and Ale and Hop. And I see people have got their phones out, and they're already searching for them.
Yeah. Ale and Hop apparently was the better one of the two, from what I understand.
And
link for the Kickstarter, in case you're wondering, it's called Growler Works, W-E-R-K-S.
Works with an E.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Let's see, we have done that, I'm just checking out Twitter. Normally, our illustrious, esteemed audience is sitting in the comfort of their homes and not having to sit and watch us.
Do we even say what the name of this episode was?
I had a name. It was...
Take a look at the website.
Oh, here it is. I've got it right here. It's Lobster Imagine Teehee.
Now, I do have to call out that... Our friend Mary Jo Foley, for the very first time, responded to a tweet related to Passion Switch. I'm very enamored.
And it made the show.
She recommended Teehee as opposed to T-E-E, perhaps. Maybe that's the parallel I was working for. You know, she's very creative.
Is that it?
She's a writer. She knows how to write stuff, so she's good that way. She's good with analysis.
I would have never made that mapping.
Yeah.
Is that horrible of me?
And so,
yeah, I'm not smart.
But the other ones came up as well. We do a normal segment for naming the next show. Now, we're not going to wrap up just yet because we do have to still have a bit more time to be able to fill before the next episode is ready to go.
The directors are sitting back there going, stretch it out.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So there was the naming segment comes up. We're looking for random... office safe words tweeted with hashtag patch and switch since our chat room is not working in the order that they are received. If they are appropriately suitable for office, then they will be the name of the next show. But we don't know when the next show is going to be.
Actually, we do.
When is it?
Well, so normally the patch and switch show would have aired Friday previous.
Right.
Just a couple of days ago. We pushed it out. So we will actually be back a week from this Friday, which would be the 7th of November. November the 7th is the next episode of the Patch and Switch Show.
Is it?
Yes. Do you need to take a note?
Oh, it's because it's October. That's why.
But the next show...
I know. So it should be the 7th because it was supposed to be the 1st. No.
No, 25th. We're keeping the same schedule. We just pushed Friday's episode out a couple of days so that we could do this live.
Got it. Got it.
We do the show live, but now we're on camera, and I'm starting to become a little conscious of all these cameras around me everywhere. Particularly doing this show, because normally there's not. We're clicking. I'm waiting. Nobody's tweeting. Nobody wants a word answered on the show. That or else things are just slow, which could very well be. Because I do believe that my cell phone is actually connected through tin cannon strings here with my roaming plan that I have. So we're waiting on Twitter to get the name of the... Oh, I've got one. Simon says fish hook.
I will make a note of that.
Will you take a note of that?
I'll take a note.
Ooh, what is that?
It's OneNote. It's this great thing called OneNote you can use.
That wasn't what I was asking. Let's see. Daylight saving. Oh, we don't have to worry about daylight savings change because that's occurring Saturday when we get home, Frederick. So
no,
we get to experience it twice.
It's Sunday.
Sorry. Well, Saturday night / early Sunday a.m.
It's fall back, right?
Yeah.
It's 2:00. Go back to 1:00.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Which in some bars and clubs is a good thing, and some for some people who work there, it's not a good thing. So we will not have to worry about that. We'll be on the same time. We'll actually be back to the normal time gap between over the pond and over here.
We will not be on the new environment or bunker as of yet.
No. So we will be back on blogtalkradio.com/patch-and-switch, which is normally where you will find us. The question, are we actually doing math? No. Because math is hard, so we don't actually do math. So we've got fishhook, is the first word. Let's see, what else do we have? Waiting for an update. It's updating. It's thinking, and nothing. The next show. Normally we use three words. It's going to be one word, just because of the time. Well, actually, we still have more time to kill. Let's see, what else could we talk about? Let's talk about the show. You've been on this stage for countless hours.
Get that thing. The schedule. Give me the piece of paper schedule.
I mean, you already name dropped like six people, dude.
I've interviewed.
We know how long you've been up here.
I've interviewed the Imagine Cup winners that were on the keynote stage.
Yes.
Jennifer and I want to say Jahan is his name. I'm probably pronouncing it completely wrong. Then I managed to talk with Mark Arsenovich. Name drop. Some other guys did some stuff, whatever they were talking about. Then I talked with Corey Sanders, which is always fun.
Insanity.
And then Jeff Woolsey, another name drop. Good one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was on with you for Ping Live, which will be interesting how that comes out in the post. And then Julia White.
Can we rewind?
What?
You said that would be interesting to see how it comes out in post.
Right.
It was live.
No, I know, but they're going to do some editing, right? They can do some
editing
stuff.
No, it was live. The show aired.
Well, I hope they got hope they got a seven-second delay.
Don't worry about it. We'll fix it in post.
Hope they got a seven-second delay going
on.
It
was live.
But then I got a chance to talk to Julia White. And the interesting fact I learned about Julia White was, another name drop, thank you. It was her first time on Channel 9 stage, so I got to give her a Channel 9 guy. So she has one now. And she's also a Jeep lover and driver.
I did not know this.
She has her original 1974 CJ Jeep that has been all fixed up, jacked up, big tires, big mutters, high-low jack in the back, and the shovel, the roof rack, and the winch on the front, and the pull-out bars. Beautiful, beautiful Jeep. So that picture that you see, if you go to Microsoft.com, I think it's /people or something like that.
Uh-huh.
The people of Microsoft are there. She's standing in front of her Jeep. So that's real. It's not fake. So that's something new I learned about that. And then, then we did the patch and switch show, which we're still trying to do right now. And then we have another one coming up afterwards, which is going to be, this is the real stuff coming back again. The DevOps Ask the Expert session that's going to be set up with David Tessar.
Yes, and coming up shortly.
And guests as well.
Oh, he has guests.
He has guests.
Fantastic.
And they've been collecting questions all throughout the last couple of months using #TalkDevOps. To be able to possibly go off and do some stuff.
Very cool. So that's upcoming. We actually now have the name of the next show.
Oh, hang on.
So I don't think this is really breaking news because we do this every week. So we've got Fishhook.
Yes.
The next, Mr. Beckman says math.
Math is hard.
No, just math.
Okay.
One word. And I don't know if we've ever done this before, But I think we're going to do a hashtag in the next show as well.
Okay.
Hashtag name drop.
So that's two words.
No, name drop. Because when you hashtag it, it's one word.
Is it a name drop or a mic drop?
What you were doing is name dropping.
Okay. I'm just so happy. This is being a tech head with the opportunity to go off and talk to so many people is just awesome.
Oh, no, absolutely.
You know, like at the crew party on Sunday, all these people wanted to stop, say hello, shake my hand, say thanks a lot for the videos you guys do, and have a lot of fun. They're actually informative and entertaining at the same time.
Yes.
But then also being able to go off and talk with customers. I've got some customer stuff lined up on Wednesday mm-hmm. when we're doing recordings from this stage to go off and talk to some customers there. But then obviously if you are here and you come down the channel line stage, come talk to us. We're in the back. You know, throw a stale donut at us or something like that to get our attention if you wanted to, because
yes.
That's the best way to do it.
Well, sometimes, we've got to manage the question and answers and the things that are going on live at the stage, but we're happy to sit and chat. And talk with everybody. Had some great chats around DevOps kind of conversations. Also, some cloud conversations with some attendees here. It's why I love this event so much is that we get to...
Our audio engineer is obviously not as great as our standard one because I can't hear a thing that's coming out of my ear right now.
Okay.
He's holding up an orange bag and pointing to it.
Okay.
I don't know what we're supposed to do with
it. I'm not...
Breaking news.
Yeah, exactly. I've got to thank everybody for joining in and who's joined in, Channel 9 Live, everybody who joins into the Passion Switch show on a weekly basis, and of course everybody who's attending the show because it's absolutely fantastic to be here and do some of this stuff. I had a great conversation with somebody earlier today. My name trumps some of yours.
What?
I had Jason Zander.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was probably, had... I not had the esteemed executive producer in my ear yelling and screaming saying, dude, we've got to go. There's somebody else waiting to go on, which I think was you.
Probably.
But really awesome conversation. Just talking, we as IT, and we talk about this, you should go back and take a look at it on Channel 9. We as IT guys in this new like DevOps world, and I'll preface this with the DevOps conversation. I think it's a good lead-in.
Ooh, nice.
As we move forward,
transition.
Right? Transition. Yes, I'm transitioning. We as IT guys are starting to understand, hey, look, we kind of have to maybe look at that developer side of things a little bit and understand, and then the developers have to take the operations look at it. And we really had a fantastic conversation about what that's like from his perspective, right?
Okay.
And the joke I made is, so instead of Visual Studio being on your primary monitor, you brought in a second one to have it over there, and you now have an ops dashboard. And I think I kind of hit the nail on the head on that one. So it's kind of cool.
Nice.
It's kind of cool that there's actually both sides of the story, because sometimes us guys, there's always the fun, I always make the joke, which came first, developer, the IT guy, right? It's that kind of conversation that we have. I get in arguments all the time with that. Sometimes we as IT guys are just like, well, we don't quite understand this dev thing. Understand, they're going through the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? And this is where really being able to work together, and hopefully so this next conversation coming up with Mr. Tessar will really help out in driving that conversation further. There's also, does Morgan have a session? Is there a DevOps session with Morgan?
What?
I know he did the pre-con.
What? He did the pre-con.
There was a fantastic pre-con.
Yeah, no. And
very well received on the DevOps side. There are some DevOps sessions that you want to look. If you're at home and not here at TechEd, you can watch those on demand.
He does have sessions.
Okay.
I think he's got two.
There you go. If not, we did highlight DevOps in one of the countdown shows. I want to say it was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you can take a look at that right here on Channel 9. You just go back. And we recommended some DevOps sessions to attend. So you guys, if you're interested in attending some of that stuff, do you have anything in particular from an announcement perspective that really kind of went, oh yeah, this is like...
For me, it was the new drop an appliance setup from a hardware manufacturer like Dell, for example,
mm-hmm.
Onto your on-premises environment, pre-installed, pre-configured,
The cloud platform system, the CPS.
Yes, CPS is now available. And, I did not know this, Jeff Woolsey, name drop, told me that there's actually one of them inside the expo hall. And the expo hall opens for us very soon. Yes. If not already. So I plan on going to take a look at it.
All right, so that about does it for this episode of the Patch and Switch Show. Of course, we're going to be back in 1.5 weeks' time. It's only 2 weeks time. 1.5 weeks' time on November the 7th. We start at 9 a.m. Pacific time. If I do the math, that puts it in Barcelona. That's what?
Way too freaking early. Or late.
Thank you, Frederick. Six.
The European contingent normally is done work and drinking beer and laughing at us because we're drinking coffee.
And now they're just sitting there laughing at us.
Right.
So join us on blogs.radio/patch and switch. Also, you can follow us at Patch and Switch. Hey, Nods, is that video? We have the audio issue before. Is that ready to go? She's like, no.
She's like,
why the heck not? So for those of you who joined us just after the keynote, we did a blooper reel of things that we did from the Tech Ed Countdown show. We didn't have audio before, so we're going to roll that video and then jump into the next DevOps session. We'll be back with more Channel 9 Live after this.
Oh my God, sorry, I'm gonna drop the camera.
All right.
Action.
Do what you wanna do.
Well, I always find myself.
Wait. He was going light. Oh my God.
I work under these conditions.
You gotta set it up in the power plant. Call 1-800, I need support.
1-800, I don't give a f-.
Standing in something.
Hello!
That's Egyptian, not a robot.
The hell?
You're still
putting here? Putting the straws in.
What are you doing?
Give me a stack of hundreds instead of cutting me a check. I'm leaving.
It's over. Go home.